Hebrews 10 verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Say to me, full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Did you know that pure water was in your Bible? Did you ever know about that? If you are watching from outside Nigeria, you may not understand what we are talking about. But the local Nigerian back home may understand what pure water. The Englishman says pure water. But the child that Abuja's son has blessed is Ogo. They are big. Let me pure water there. Then when they drink one children, they do, Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't mind me. I'm funny like that. But what I want you to see here is full assurance. Everybody say full assurance. Say it again, full assurance. So he's saying that even at your entry into the kingdom of God, God wants you to have full assurance of faith. Not half assurance, not partial assurance. He wants what? Full assurance. Amen. Isaiah 32 verse 17. Isaiah 32 verse 17. The Bible says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. God wants you to have assurance. So now, this assurance, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Davido's assurance? Or what type of assurance are we talking about? We are talking about assurance of salvation. Davido needs it. The only challenge is that he has the same prefix with my names. Mine is David Ogenerobo, so it's David O. I don't know how his own became O, because it's David Adeleke. It's supposed to be David A. Me, I'm David O. I'm the real. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, there are two major doctrines on the subject of salvation and its assurance that people struggle with. And many times we have to clarify them for understanding. Are you with me? There is the doctrine of security and there is the doctrine of assurance. Let me say that again. There are two major doctrines that people struggle with on the subject of salvation or the assuredness of salvation. The first one is the doctrine of security, and the second is the doctrine of assurance. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are not just here to show a display of knowledge. We are not just here to prove how much you know. But Lord, we are partnering with you to get ourselves built up in you. Lord, even as we learn once again this afternoon, build us up. Build us up. Make us who you want us to be. Raise us up strong and valiant for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I will need the word very soon. The doctrine of security and the doctrine of assurance. Those of you who have followed me for a while, you have heard me teach this again and again. And I'm still teaching it again because every time I study the Bible, I'm discovering that there's still so much to learn. There's so much to know about this subject to get it even more clearer or even more clearly. So, the doctrine of security is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. Praise the Lord. The doctrine of security is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. Let me tell you why this is important. There are so many reasons why this kind of teachings are important. First of all, so that as we mature in the body of Christ, some things should not be heard about again. Are you with me? Number two, so that we can, by the Bible discernment, check who is saved, who is with us and who is not with us. You can even check yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, examine yourselves if ye be in the faith. It says, examine yourself, except ye be reprobate. That should be verse 5, right? Let's check. Yes. It says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So we have to have enough teachings to help the believer find his footing. Where are you? Are you with me? He said, you can be serving God all your life, but you will still go to hell. Ah, are you sure? How can we be preaching that? Are you with me? How is it possible? Have you not heard things like, you can be speaking in tongues. He may be a fervent worker. You can be speaking in tongues, doing signs and wonders, and go to hell. Well, what exactly are you referring to? Are you with me? Men and brethren, you don't know what sin will take you to hell. You can be in church for donkey years, but you quarreled with your wife last night, and the trumpet sounds today. Where will you find yourself? Think about what I'm saying very seriously. It's not by being a worker in church. It's not. What exactly are you referring to? Some will see on that day, Lord, Lord, we have done many things in your name. We have healed the sick. We have cast out devils in your name. But I will say to them, depart from me, workers of iniquity, for I know you not. If that is what we are preaching, then there is a problem. Nobody is sure of who is going to make it. Even me talking to you, I am just surviving by the mercy of God. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Eh? Eh? We should all take off. I did a post on Instagram. And so many people commented. I said, imagine a doctor brings an injection to you. I'm not sure this injection can heal you, but you must take it. What shall you do? As sick as people are, they will say, doctor, I'm coming. I better be limping and leave this place. So let's start with the doctrine of security. It is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. Another way to rephrase it is to put it like this. The doctrine of security says that the same power that saves is the same power that keeps. The same power that saved the man is the same power that keeps the man. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, that means that because Christ rose up from the dead, or because Christ was raised from the dead, we became born again. Because he's saying that because he resurrected from the dead, we were begotten again. Are you with me? Now, verse 4. Verse 4, everybody. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for me, glory. Sometimes I have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled
that fades not away, reserved in heaven for me. Glory. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you with me? He's saying that the people who have been begotten again, they are kept by the power of God through faith. So because they put their faith in God, God has committed himself to keep them. Are you with me? They are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So at the coming of Christ, we are not the ones begging the Lord to remember us, but God is saying, I will reveal you. Are you with me? Ready to be revealed in the last time. So in the last time, the last hour of the world, when the last trump of God blows and the sons of God are taken, by the time the earthly creatures and the unbelievers are seeing us ascend with the Lord in the sky, they say, those were the sons of God. We are being revealed. Are you with me? Ready to be revealed in the last time. So he's telling you that if you are saved, you will be kept. Are you with me? If you have a Bible search, try and search out the word backslide. Philippians 1, verse 6. Now, the verses I'm opening to you are scriptures on the doctrine of security. Are you following me? The word backslide, the backsliding is not in the New Testament. We are doing what? Apostolic preaching of the gospel, Abby. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Glory! He says, being confident, kapalate. He wants you to be confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. This is security here. Are you with me? So until the final day, maybe you think you are the one keeping yourself in salvation. No, he's telling you God is the one keeping you. Are you with me? The same power that saves is the same power that keeps. Look at John chapter. Before we even look at John, something to think about. This was Paul writing to the Philippian church. And Paul is writing to the entire church saying, I am confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. How are you sure? Are you with them? Do you know how many sins they are committing? Do you know what the choir leader has done with the choir member? Not in this church. Philippian church. Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul, how are you sure? Maybe there was something Paul knew and preached that we need to understand. Paul is saying, if I can see this work begin in you, I am sure he will complete it. So the problem is, as the work began in you, are you following me? Has the work begun? If the work has begun, Apostle Paul is saying, I am confident that if he began this work in you, praise the Lord. John chapter 10. John 10 verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. And I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is bragging. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Hey! I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 27. Okay, verse 29, please. 1, 2, 3, go. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Say after me, I'm secured. My salvation is secured. This is the bragging of God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let me show you a very interesting discourse. You know, all this, you don't know what you can do to lose your salvation. See, Pastor, what about Hebrews 6? What about Hebrews 10? Eh? Pastor, if we sin willfully after we have heard knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins. I am coming. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 6. Let's see a very interesting discussion. You hear Jesus talk and you'll be wondering, is it that they told you that in some 2,000 years there will be an argument like this? John 6 verse 35. Jesus said unto them, let me start from verse 32. It's sweeter from there. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, glory! For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't like bread, you have a problem. Jesus said it is the bread. Of all food you must like, is bread. Nothing typifies our master like that food. Amen. Verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hey! All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Malaka patai. God, you know, sometimes you can be at a point in your life and you say, what if God has just given up? What if God is tired of my matter? Are you following me? What if God is actually tired of me and has moved on? Praise the Lord. He says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not casting me out. He cannot cast me out. Amen. Then he goes to verse 39. He says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which heareth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He keeps going on and on. Look, jump to verse 54. He says, whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Look at verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as the fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Are you seeing the way he's repeating? I will raise him up on the last day. He will live forever. No man will pluck him out of my hand. As if he was trying to tell them, listen, don't play with me. The doctrine of security is saying that the same power that saves is the same power that keeps. God is committed to the saved in salvation. God is committed to me. Two more verses on this emphasis. Jude chapter 1 verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep me from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. He is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless. Are you with me? That's the Bible. Pastor, I don't know if I will soon, maybe I will soon fall into fornication. He's able to keep you from falling. And maybe, Pastor, I don't know, I may fall into this sin. He's able to keep me from falling. When it looks like it's as if sin wants to take over you. Maybe it looks like temptations abound. Everywhere it looks like sin is calling your name. You will not answer a billion times. He's able to keep you from falling. So by the time they say, ah, this guy, you are such a holy man of God. They say, he kept me. Oh, you know, I told you in the morning, you will never hear of a scandal in my life. Amen. Not because I'm so powerful, but because he's able to keep me. Yes. Glory.
Glory.
Final one, still on security. You know what I'm doing? The next time you see an argument about losing salvation online, you just shake your head and go. Pastor, what about that brother in our church? He was a very fervent brother. When he leads to lead prayer, he will come, Zaka, ba, 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 everywhere we shaking, shaking, shaking. Then one day, he committed sin. Now he's in the beer parlor. Pastor, he's like that, though. Pastor, are you now saying, follow me? Are you with me? You see this Bible, eh? Study it, though. Study this Bible. Let me tell you, if you are a new breed, I call you blessed.
Glory.
Some of you may not understand until you go out. We went for one conference and somebody was speaking. It was a church workers training. I didn't even ask. I was asking them, what did we learn from the church workers training and all of that? My guys came and said, there were some doctrines that were not right. I said, see, there is no need to fight. See, in ministry, there is no need to fight past. No need to fight wrong. Truth does not need to be defended. It will defend itself. Don't try to fight. Don't say this one is wrong, that one. Don't. Just teach Bible. There's a way you will teach properly like this. Eh? There's a way you open the Bible. Somebody has to decide that he will be blind for him to reject. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And guess what? There are people like that. At this point, I've given up. On some people, I've given up. I say, that one, only Jesus will help you. Hebrews 7 from verse 25. He says, wherefore he is able to keep them or save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him, for them.
Strengthen in Jesus' name.
Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So he saves how? To the uttermost. How does he save? To the uttermost. How does he save? To the uttermost. How does Christ save? To the uttermost. It says, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you know what this means? Jesus is not somewhere looking at you and say, him promise me, say, you no go for. Make with the watch. Michael, come. I think she says she wants to serve God. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. See, first of all, I'm not reckless. They should start knowing I'm not reckless. But let's be watching them. Let's be watching. I said it. Gabriel, come, oh, come. She has entered her boyfriend's house. What did I tell you? God is not looking at you saying, you see, look at somebody we died for. That's not what God is saying. So when God is looking at you and looks like you are shaking, he goes to intercession. Let's what can we do? Let's begin to intercede. This one we died for cannot be lost. He cannot lose his way. I'll talk about this tomorrow morning. The glory of his ascension. So now, let's settle this in our hearts. The work of Christ, the salvific work of Christ is eternal. Say after me, I have eternal salvation. My salvation is eternal. Have you ever seen that verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. You know what that verse actually means? God no go shame us. No one can call on his name, and on that day, he said, Jesus, I believe in you. Say, ah, I know they, I was, it does not mean you believed in. Nobody can genuinely and truly believe in him and call on his name, and he will cast you on that day or run you streets. No, no. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do we have people who have called upon the name of the Lord? So, the next question arises. Okay, Pastor, I know that God saves to the uttermost. Pastor, I know that salvation is eternal. But how am I sure that I am part of those who have it? Pay attention. I know that God saves to the uttermost. I know that salvation is eternal. But how can I be sure that I am part of those that have been saved to the uttermost? And so, what we talked about earlier on was the doctrine of security. The second one is the doctrine of assurance. Assurance, or the doctrine of assurance, is the inward confidence that God plants in a person about his work. Assurance is that inward confidence that God plants in a person about Christ's work of salvation. Assurance is that inward confidence that God plants in a person about Christ's work of salvation. Now you may be wondering, Pastor, why are you breaking it down like this? So it's one thing to say, does Dangote have money? Yes. Dangote is said to be the richest man in Nigeria, right? Or Africa. Well, whether Africa or Nigeria, is a very rich man. But how are you sure that he will give you money? Can he make you wealthy? Yes. How are you sure that he will make you wealthy? That's a different thing. Are you getting it? Does God save to the uttermost? Yes. His salvation, is it eternal? Yes. But how can we be sure that it is going to be eternal for me? Are you with me? How am I part of those? How can I be sure that I am part of those who are going to have his salvific plan eternally? How am I sure? It's called assurance. In its nitty-gritty detail, let me go into it now. Now, somebody say, Pastor, not every one of us are struggling with this. Let me tell you, people are struggling with this. And there are many reasons that can cause that struggle. I told you one. Some of the kind of things they've heard. Oh, you can be serving God and end up in hell. He can tell you that, depart from me, you are a worker of iniquity. I know you not. Then, some people may say, Pastor, but I'm a child of God. Why am I still struggling with sin? Why is it that sometimes, today, I feel like I am hot. Tomorrow, I am cold. Why is it that my Christianity, I genuinely want to serve God. But sometimes, I'm not just there. Are you with me? So, someone may have that question that I'm struggling. I cannot just be jumping about saying that my salvation is eternal. Pastor, I'm struggling. So, what is the inward assurance that you are part of those who are saved? Let's look at it. I'm going to give you a biblical structure that you will never forget. John chapter 1, verse 11. So, we're going to open three scriptures at a go. So, open John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12, Galatians 4, verse 6, and 1 John 4, verse 13. John chapter 1, verse 11. So, once we are done with John chapter 1, verse 11, we'll enter Galatians 4, verse 6, And from Galatians 4 verse 6, we enter 1 John 4 verse 13, right? 1, 2, 3, go. Start again. 1, 2, 3, go. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received... Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? Sons of God. Are you with me? Galatians 4 verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Are you seeing the way I'm connecting it? So, the spirit of his son has come into your heart because you are a son. Now, son is not talking about male or female. He's talking about inheritor of God. Are you with me? And because ye are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the reason why you can call God Father is because there is a spirit of adoption within you that has adopted you into the family of God that makes you look up to God and say, Father, Daddy. Can you just say it, Abba, Father? Abba, Father. Say, you are my daddy. I carry your spirit. Glory. Now, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your heart, crying about Father. Look at 1 John 4 verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his So, the spirit of God in you is the assurance that you belong to him. Are you with me? The spirit of God in you is the assurance that you belong to him. The spirit of God in you is the assurance that you belong to him. Now, this spirit is also called a seal. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 13. Ephesians 1 from verse 13. Let's start with verse 11. Okay, let me start from verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So, Paul was doing something here. The book of Ephesians, amongst many other things, it was written to explain to the Christians in Ephesus that even though the work of God or the salvation plan of God began with the Jews, it did not end with the Jews. It was from the Jews to the Gentiles and to all nations. Are you with me? Now, so he's saying that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who were the first people group to trust in Christ? The Jews. Are you with me? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. Whom ye also trusted. Are you seeing that language? So, we first trusted, but now you also trusted. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know what this means? No seal is removed until it gets to its final destination. Ah, God. They will tell you when you buy water or a canned drink. They said, if you get this product and the seal is broken, reject it. He's telling you that the Holy Spirit is your seal. Meaning, this seal will remain with you until you get to heaven. So, the Holy Spirit in you is the assurance that what God promised about eternal salvation is yours. Are you following this? One more. Romans 8 from verse 9. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that if it means if a man does not have the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to God. So the Holy Spirit in a man is proof that he belongs to God. Are you with me? It is the assurance. Say after me, I have assurance. Say after me, I have assurance. Say after me, I have assurance. The Holy Ghost dwells in me. The Holy Ghost dwells in me. Now, let's... Glory! So now, let's take it deeper. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Are you following what I'm saying? By the grace of God, among the many things God has empowered me to do is to teach. We started with, is salvation secure? Yes. Salvation is eternal. God's work in salvation is eternal. How do you know that even though God's work is eternal, that work is at work in you? Is the doctrine of assurance. The assurance is that we have the Holy Spirit. Right? So how do you know you have the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5. 1, 2, 3, go. But the fruit of the Spirit. Are you seeing this? Who is in our flow of thought? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Now, the fruit of the Spirit here is, you know, many times, oh my God. We teach this fruit of the Spirit as, okay, now people, every one of you, the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Go and love your neighbors. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Try and be joyful. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Don't they cause problem for your street. Be peaceful. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Endure. That's not what he's saying, no. What he's saying is, if the Spirit is in you, it will begin to produce joy. If the Spirit is in you, it will produce love. The Spirit will produce fruits to prove that it is there. Are you with me? See, it's just like if you have a tree growing at the back of your house and you are confused of what kind of tree it is. You say, this tree, the way leaves is looking, it's as if it's pawpaw, it's as if it's mango. I don't really know whether it's mango or orange. Or, you say, okay, let's wait. Let it produce fruits. Then it produces a fruit, you go and cut the inside, say, it's orange. Are you with me? So you know the tree by their fruits. Are you following this? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay. Now, let's break down some things a little bit. So let me start with love. This love begins with love towards God and love towards other believers in Christ. Do you know how dangerous it is as a litmus test when a person has no passion for the things of God? Do you know what it says about you? He doesn't just say, I'm not so a spiritual person. I know they do church on my head. I know they carry church for head. No, me key Jesus. See, when a person lacks passion for the things of God, it's more than just, I don't like to overdo. It's more serious. You are telling us that the Holy Ghost is, we can begin to say the Holy Ghost is absent in your life. And if the Holy Ghost is absent in your life, it means you don't belong to him. And if you don't belong to him, it means you belong to... Somebody say Satan. Oh, am I making it up? Pastor, why are you stretching this thing too far? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. Verses that people don't open normally on the normal Sunday service. Unpopular verses of the Bible. Everybody read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. Read it again. Read it again. any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Do you know what that means? That he will be damned at the coming of the Lord. Anathema means damnation. Maranatha means the Lord cometh. Or let the Lord come. If any man love not... So when we find a Christian who we are begging, take spiritual things, come for meetings, must I be there? That alone, that you don't have that passion in your heart springing up from your inside, is proof that you don't belong to him. Because if you belong to him, his spirit will begin to awaken it. Have you not seen people who, they don't even look like they know so much? They don't even know too much, but once they are worshiping somewhere, they will go. Just the song about Christ is already drawing them. They want to worship. You, I'm telling you, this has no regard for age. It has no regard for status. Once you start talking about God and worshiping God and responding to God, they just want to try. You know what is happening? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit is producing a love towards God. Then you now have people who are every day. Do you know that, as a Christian, even though you don't agree with certain things, you cannot boldly come and shame the body of Christ publicly. You know why? You have a love bias towards the body of Christ. They are. Did you hear what I just said? Say, no, we want to call them out. If you really love the Lord, there is a love bias you will have. There is a love. You will not be okay when people are just somewhere shaming the name of Christ. Talking bad about churches, about God, about everything. They're just shaming Christ in your office. If you are there, you'll be cringing inside. Has happened before? You may not even know so much to say. You may not really know how to follow the argument. But your love is crying out. When you see people praying, you will not be like, they overdo. No, a part of you will be like, let me try. Let me just, I want to know more. Oh, this Pastor David that they're inviting us for, let me just go, Sha. Let me just go. You know what's happening? You love the Lord. So the Spirit of God within you is producing that fruit. Then you also want to spend time with the brethren. You see all those believers that they will kneel and cry and be dragging them to church. Maybe they are not actually believers. Because a genuine Christian, if you are not in a company of believers, you will be feeling somehow. 2 weeks is like, it's too much. You'll be wondering, how did I miss this service? You will love the brethren, and there are scriptures for that, but let me run. You see Romans 5 verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You will love the Lord, you will love believers, you will love the things of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me talk a little bit about love towards other believers. Everybody see 1 John 3 verse 14 to 15. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus, yeah. When you see believers, they come to church. Let me just zoom off. I don't want church people. I don't send those guys. That thing that is happening is not something to ignore. It's something to go and start praying for the person. Hey, you're always at home with the people who are drinking beer and talking about woman's waist and front and back. Let me tell you, your nature will determine your company. Birds of the same feather flock together. When people belong to God, they will camp around God. When people belong to Satan, they will camp around Satan. Even when you are a believer who is struggling with sin, when you are with other people in your office or maybe hanging out and they are just talking about all those kind of things, you're like, after a while, you're like, no, you are feeling choked up, you want to run away. If you are comfortable where people who don't celebrate Christ is or are, let me talk about this a little bit. Growing up as a young man, I remember when I began to trust God for a life partner. There was a time when I was done with youth service, I was praying to God. I said, Lord, show me a beautiful sister that this journey will be made easier with. I met one girl. This girl is fine. Hey! Man, look at on the outward appearance. And so we started talking. But I noticed that I couldn't sustain a conversation with her about Christ for more than 5 minutes. No matter how we would do it. Once I start talking about God, Jesus, I said, I saw something in the Bible. There is this thing God didn't mean. She will change the topic. She will find... Once I'm talking, she'll be quiet. She'll be quiet. She'll just be listening. After a while. Say, do you know about... Have you heard about this film? There's nothing wrong. But she couldn't stay. It was as if once I start talking about God, she's like, change this topic. 5 minutes is much. 3 minutes, she don't get tired. She will change. She must talk about something else. She will start telling me how she loves maroon shoes. How she's, she will talk. But when it comes to God, Jesus Christ, at the point I said, you know, go walk. Oh. No. A OGO like me. Hey. I sleep Jesus. I think Jesus. I eat Jesus. I wake up Jesus. I bath Jesus. That means you will literally be going through torture in this marriage. No need to go further. Thank God. That's why don't rush and say you want, will you be my, don't rush and start asking out. I said, take inventory first. So, from then on, the calls from 5 times a day reduced to 2.5. From 2.5 to 1. To 1 to half. To half to 0. How am I going to do it? He says, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, he that does not have that passion towards his brother in Christ, he's saying he abideth in death. That's what the Bible said. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Who wrote this thing? Is it me? Okay. Now, the question is, how will you now look at somebody you've not known from Adam and calling your brother the spirits? That spirit will begin to cause that work to happen within you. Are you with me? So, the fruit of the spirit is love. The fruit of the spirit is love. It's joy. Say after me, joy. Say it again, joy. Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth and for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath and buy that field. So there is a joy that accompanies the work of salvation, the joy towards the things of the Lord. Are you with me? Now, if you are here and you've scanned everything I'm saying, that pastor, I don't think I have joy for things of God like that, though. I don't think I really, really love the things of God like that. I'm not saying this to shame you. I'm saying this for you to, wherever you are, you can just bow your head and say, Lord, I think you should save me. You know the problem in the Christian faith? We are trying to force people to do the things that only those who are saved can do. We are trying to, there are many things we are trying to tell people. A man who is not saved, why are you discussing tight with him? You does not... That's why you have a problem with giving. Because he doesn't love God like that. He's only giving to see if God will give him the transaction back. Are you following me? So they will have a, no matter what you want to say, they will have a problem. The Bible says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He will not understand what you are saying. He must be born again first. When he's born again and the Holy Ghost is in him, that's when you begin to comprehend what you are saying. That's when you will understand the value of the Spirit of God in a man, the value of the kingdom of God, and give his resources for the same. Are you with me? Now, if the Spirit also is in you, the Spirit will cause you to do good works. Are you following this? So, we are not saved by works, but when we are saved, we must produce good works. Ephesians 2 from verse 8. He said, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." See verse 10. See verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." So, initially, he already told you that you are not saved by works, but when you are saved, you are going to be recreated in Christ, meaning you will be born anew by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Ghost begin to work in you, a nature to produce good works. Are you following this? Very important. Because some people think that when we are talking about grace, we are saying no matter what you do, you are going to heaven. No, no, no. You cannot do, we cannot be preaching no matter what you do. There is nothing like no matter what you do. You cannot even be saying no matter what you do. When a man is saved, you begin to do the works of God. There is nothing like no matter what you do. Mm-mm. You are recreated in Christ unto good works which he had prepared before that you should walk in them. So are you now seeing how that eternal security is not saying that people can sin no matter what they want, how they want to sin and still make heaven? Are you with me? Yes, that's not what he's saying. Because if you are saved, you will produce good works. However, you are not saved by good works. You are saved for good works. Yes, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I want to open so many scriptures to you, but let's start with 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 7. You know why I like Apostle John? Apostle John is my guy. Nah. As well, we give you straight up. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. What will you make of this scripture? Praise the Lord. So he's saying that if you are in him, you will do righteousness. The final thing I wanted to do is I wanted to answer Matthew chapter 7. "Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Master, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name?" Matthew chapter 7 from verse 13. There are more things in that video. I wanted to break some other things down. Because you see, why am I doing this? Why did we accept this instruction from the Lord? I feel like many people have been hearing gospel. They don't understand it. Are you getting me? Yes, sir. And guess what? There is still a lot. I told you for this camp meeting, both the ones in Abuja, Lagos, Port Harcourt, and Lekki, all the sessions put together came out 16 sessions. My teaching script came out 20 sessions. I have 20 teachings to do. That means 4 extra. My last check, I think I had 7 extra. I did not teach about the deity of Christ. I did not teach about the Christos, that was the Son of God. But I did not teach about, where? Matthew 7, verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. Oklo, you are strengthened. Okay, read it again. "Enter ye in at the straight gates. For wide is the gates, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So there is a straight gate, and there is a narrow way. There is a wide gate, and there is a broad way. Are you following this? You cannot claim to come through the straight gate and be walking in the broad way. Are you following me? You cannot claim to this. You cannot say that this is the gate you came through. Eh? And we look at your way. Broad. So, you are saved by coming through the straight gate. But we know that you came through the straight gate by the narrowness in your way. Are you following me? This is Jesus teaching. Nobody teaches like Jesus. Master, King, Emperor himself. When I studied Jesus' teaching, I would draw Bible first. I would turn first and say, after you, now you. Before you is you. Verse 15. Now, don't miss verse 15. Verse 15, 1, 3, go. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Mark this verse. We are coming back to it. Mark this verse. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So you cannot go to a tree of thorns and get grapes. You cannot go to a tree of thistles and get figs. Verse 17. So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So a good tree, bringeth forth what? Good fruits. And an evil tree, corrupt fruits. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, somebody may say, Pastor, are you talking about machine perfection here? Are you now saying that if I'm a genuine Christian, I cannot make, I'm not permitted to make any mistake? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that if you are truly saved, or before I go into this, the implication or the application, if you go to a mango tree and you see one bad fruit and all the other fruits in the tree are good, is it a good tree? So the reason why there is a bad fruit there, maybe something happened, maybe a bird came and plucked it, or something funny just happened. So it's a good tree, just that fruit is bad. But imagine you go to a mango tree and all the fruits are bad. The tree is bad. All the fruits coming out from it are bad. So he's saying that a Christian may make mistakes, but a Christian does not live in mistakes. Are you with me? If you are consistently bringing out Broadway, lefted fruit, oh. If all that is coming out is evil, is a corrupt tree. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the judgment coming. Every tree that bringeth not what? Good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. If we notice here, the fruit is not singular, but plural. So he's saying, when you look at the totality of the fruit that has come out or is coming out from them, you will know that this is a good tree. Are you with me? By their fruits. So now, if you want to investigate the way, before I go to the final verses, and let's investigate the straight gate and the narrow and the wide gate. So, by implication, what this means is, if you came in through the straight gate and you are walking on the narrow way, this is what will happen. A genuine Christian who has put faith in Christ, he starts out the journey. He may fall into sin, he may slip back, he may have issues, but along the line, you will discover that he is making progress on the narrow way. He may be slow, but he's still making progress on the narrow way. Are you with me? Because he came by the straight gate and there is no going out. Remember, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. So eventually, when you study the bulk of his life, you will discover that after he put faith in Christ, even though he had issues, Christ is working on him. Are you with me? Remember what we talked about in doctrine of security. He maketh intercession for them. So Christ, let me tell you the truth. It is his intercession that brings ministry to you. So when God says that you need to grow spiritually, he will send Pastor David to Abuja. The intercession of Christ has pulled. Are you with me? When he says, oh, there are people who I need to ensure that they are still maturing in the faith and following me the way I want them to. Okay, let's open a branch there. Are you getting? It is that intercession that is bringing ministry to them. He says, wherefore by their fruit you should know them. So, a Christian who is saved, by the time you look at his journey and the work of Christ in him, no man shall pluck him out of my hand. He may have fallen down. He may have had issues, but you will discover he has made progress in a narrow way. He's growing. He's growing. Another person who claims he came through the straight gate but is walking in the broad way. After a while, he's out. In fact, that's not even possible. Let me explain what really happened. If you see a person that says they have put their faith in God, or they were Christians, and after a while, they slipped off and went back into the world and kept on enjoying the world and forgot about all their Christian consecration completely. Did he lose his salvation? No. Was he saved? No. Did you hear what I just said? Did he lose his salvation? No. Was he saved? No. That you went back to the world and you continued. There is something, you know, there is something that is not properly taught. I wish I can teach it. That's an hard teaching. It's called the perseverance of the saints. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 1. Everybody look at Colossians 1 from verse 21 to 23. Everybody, 1 to 3, go. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Glory! In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature. So, how do we know that you are part of those who will be presented unblameable and unreprovable in his sight? It is that you will continue in the faith, not move from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Are you with me? Did you get that? The perseverance of the saint is proof that you actually entered at the beginning. When you see a man leave the faith and completely go back to the world, it is proof that he was not there at the beginning. This is why we need to be serious about, are you saved? You don't enter. What does this tell you? That means if this is what the Bible teaches, there are too many people in church who are not saved. Ah, Pastor, yes! If this is what the Bible teaches about security and assurance, then we have too many people who are not it. Pastor, how is that possible? Of course it's possible. Matthew 7 verse 20. By their fruit, wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, verse 22. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Remember Matthew 7 verse 15. Go back to Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets. So who was he talking to? False prophets, not the genuinely saved believer. The false prophets are the ones who will get power from diabolical sources and do things in the name of God and try to convince God that because of the works I did, accept me. Do you get what I just said? So when he says, Lord, Lord, depart from me, I knew you not, he's not talking to you. He's talking to false prophets. Are you following me? Yes, he's talking to false prophets. which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Do we have them today? Emphatically, yes. Plenty in Abuja. Asamolakamonia. So, now, also look at the communication. Back to verse 22. You see the communication between Jesus and them. You will discover that when they were trying to fight for their claim to enter heaven, they made no mention of the work of Christ. All they were boasting about was their work. And you are not saved by your work. You are saved by his work. Look at what they were saying. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? So they are trying to see if their works will give them access. Do you know what this means? It means the judgment will be a very, very intelligent and clear day. It will be a day where you can talk to Jesus. You can look at, you can say, Master, what happened? And he will talk back to you. Hey. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. They walk iniquity because they are false prophets. Do you also realize, he did not say, I knew you before and I don't know you again. He says, I never knew you. So, you didn't even come in the first place. Because you cannot come in and go out. Hey! He cannot know you and unknow you. Makapala bale to koma ya. Do we get Matthew 7 right now? Do you get it? So the question is, do you know him? Has he known you? Are you saved? Have you believed the gospel? Have you put faith in Christ? Say after me, I believe in Jesus. Glory! Glory! Praise the Lord. Jump on your feet and thank him.